no matter what you are dealing with and going through, no matter what uncertainty is ahead of you, you may not know exactly what tomorrow holds, but listen to me. By the word of the Lord, I'm speaking into you, boldness be, strength be.
When you understand that God is with you, it'll change absolutely everything you say and do. You'll live every day in boldness and power. Join Jeremy Pearsons today as he continues with How to Live Bold Beyond Uncertainty, next on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons, and I'm so thankful to be a part of this broadcast with you again today, and thankful to my grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for inviting me to do this and sit in for them. It's a great honor and a lot of fun. I just really enjoy doing this, and I love knowing that you're getting a hold of the Word of God. I grew up on this broadcast, watching this every single day, get in the living room there with the family and just turn it on and watch Mimi and Papa preach the Word. And so it's just a lot of fun for me to get to be a part of this, and I hope you're enjoying it as well. Let's go before the Lord. We'll pray, get right back into our study. Father, we thank you today. Thank you so much for your Word, Lord. We love your Word. We're thankful that we have it to stand on. I'm asking you, Lord, today for eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. Eyes that see Jesus, ears that hear His voice, and hearts that understand who we are in Him and who He is in us. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. On Monday's broadcast, we began in the Word of God looking at the kind of difference that is supposed to exist in the life of a believer versus the life of somebody who doesn't know God, who doesn't have Jesus. And whether you realize it or not, and I think you probably do, there's supposed to be a difference. Not just a difference, a big difference, a night and day difference. According to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, there is supposed to be a night and day difference. He says, if the world is asleep, you and I should be awake. If the world is drunk, we are supposed to be sober with the ability to think straight, think the Word of God, renew our minds according to the Word of God, not think about ourselves anything less than what God's Word says, who we are, what we can do, what we can have, what we can be. And if the Word of God says it, then you and I can have those things. Amen. But you've got to renew your mind to that. We saw in Ephesians chapter 2 that there was a way of living according to the course of this world that came very naturally to us. Very naturally, you lived the way the world said live. And if the news said, hey, look, the economy's crashing, you said, okay, my economy's crashing too. We better hang on to every dime we can hang on to. And you just lived and thought that kind of way, and it scared you. And it was like, what does the future hold? Well, that kind of thinking came very naturally to you, and it came very naturally to me. And he says, we were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Or in other words, there was nothing different about us until you came in contact with the love of God, the mercy of God, and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right then and there, a defining moment in your life, Jesus put on the inside of you His nature. He gave you a new nature, and out of that nature, that's what you and I are supposed to be living out of right now. A new nature, in other words, very naturally walking by love, naturally according to the Spirit of God, naturally being a giver instead of a taker, naturally living and walking by faith. And I know it doesn't come naturally to this flesh. I know it doesn't come naturally to this natural way of thinking, this carnal way of thinking, but that's why the renewing of the mind is so important. And so we established all of that so that we could then look and see, what is it that marks this world? What is this world's system defined by? And right now, it's very clear to me, and I know it is to you as well, that this world is defined by its uncertainty about the future. Not sure where anything is headed. Not sure where governments are going. Not sure where economies are headed. Not sure what our health may hold for us in the future, because you never know what's coming down the way. You know, it's this time of year again, and we always get sick at this time of year. And what is that's just walking according to the course of this world. But if this world is marked by its uncertainty, you and I should be marked and defined by our boldness, by our boldness of faith, by our boldness and unreservedness and not being afraid to speak and declare the Word of God into impossible situations. That should be what defines your life. You should be defined by how much you know God loves you. That's what defines you and I. As a matter of fact, let me say this to you. The most dangerous person on this planet, the most dangerous believer, dangerous to the kingdom of darkness, dangerous to sin, sickness, and disease, dangerous to the devil, the most dangerous person on this planet is the one that knows how much they're loved by God. And you get somebody who knows how much they're loved, what happens next? Their faith gets so sky high and so unlimited that they'll not be afraid to launch into anything. They won't be afraid to be obedient to the voice and the leading of the Spirit of God. All fear about their future will be removed. Why? Simply because they know how much they're loved. And boldness is the result of knowing. Uncertainty and fear is the result of uncertainty. Fear is the result of not knowing. Boldness is the result of knowing. If you knew how it was going to turn out, you'd be bold. If you knew what was right ahead, you'd be bold in stepping into it. The result of knowing who you are in God, knowing who you are in Jesus and who He is in you, the result of that is boldness, the boldness to speak, the boldness to live for the things of God. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I want to look back at Joshua chapter 1, and we saw this yesterday, that three times God spoke to Joshua. Now, keep in mind the situation, keep in mind the circumstances that Joshua found himself in. Moses had died. The man he had looked up to, his leader, the one who'd been leading this huge group of people, this entire nation out of bondage and hopefully into their freedom, this great man of God has just died, and God turns to Joshua and says, "You're it. You're next. I pick you, and you are going to lead these people." Now, if I'm in Joshua's place, I'm thinking, you know, there might be a little bit of uncertainty about this. Yeah, I've watched Moses for a long time, but these are not exactly the easiest people in the world to lead, God. I mean, you're calling us into a promised land that none of us have been to. We spied it out and it looked good to us, but none of these people want to go. What are we doing? Where are we going? You're thinking about the battles that are up ahead. You're thinking about the hard times that could be in front of you. And God speaks to him. And in the midst of that uncertainty, God looks into his life and says, "Boldness, be. Strength, be. Courage, be." In the same way God looked into absolute darkness, emptiness, and void on day one of creation, and he said, "Light be," and light was. The very same way he spoke into Joshua's life, and he said, "Courage be, boldness be, strength be." Now listen to me. He's doing the exact same thing for you right now. Right at this moment, as you watch this broadcast, no matter what you are dealing with and going through, no matter what uncertainty is ahead of you, you may not know exactly what tomorrow holds, but listen to me. By the word of the Lord, I'm speaking into you, boldness be, strength be. Yeah, you may not know exactly how it's unfolding, but listen, you know God, and you know He's good. So you know your future is good because your future is in Him and He holds your future. And if that's all you knew, you have every reason to be bold. But like I said to you yesterday, boldness must have a source. Boldness without a source is just stupidity. Boldness without a source is somebody just trying to put on boldness and just trying to stir up a certain amount of adrenaline. And I can do this. I know I can do this. I know I can do this. But without a source, it's not true boldness. So if Joshua is going to be bold in what God has called him to do, he's going to have a source for that boldness. Now, if that were you or if it were me and God had come to you and said, "Okay, I want you to lead this great big group of people and I want you to do this and go and fight all these battles," For you and I to be bold, we might have said, okay, God, fine, we'll do it, but here's what I want to know. I want to know how every battle's going to go down. I want to know what I'm supposed to do with this army. Are we supposed to attack from the left or maybe from the right? Or where's the enemy going to come from? How's it going to happen? And on what day is it going to happen? Because if you can tell me what day it'll be, then I'll be ready for it, and then I can be bold. And we might have wanted God to just spell out every little detail, but that was not going to be Joshua's source for boldness. God was not going to do that for him, but God did give him a source for the boldness that he told him to walk in. And it's in verse 9. He said, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. For," now here's your source for boldness, "the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Now that right there, that promise in that one statement, "the Lord your God is with you wherever you go," that is better than trying to hear every little detail. That is better than trying to figure out every little nuance of every little situation and every circumstance that you find yourself in. If you just knew that the Lord your God was with you everywhere you went, do you know the kind of boldness you would walk in? Do you know the kind of strength and courage you would face every situation with? Stuff, unexpected stuff flies up in your face and presents itself to you. And instead of cowering, instead of getting worried and sweating it, the first thing that would rise up in you says, "I may not know exactly what to do yet, but I do know that the Lord my God is with me everywhere I go. And if he's with me, if he's in me and I'm in him, my future is bright. I will finish my race. I will run my course." Can you hear the boldness in that? And when you begin to live a life marked by boldness, marked by this kind of certainty, it stands out. It stands out. And to be honest with you, in a world of uncertainty, when somebody shows up with boldness and certainty of speech, a lot of times people don't like it. Let me show you this. Go back to the book of Genesis, and I want to continue to build on this bedrock revelation, because that's what this is. This revelation of God being with you everywhere you go, that is a foundation that your life should be built on. That right there, when you understand my God is with me, he's for me, he's not against me, he's in me, he's on me, he's through me, when you get that, it will change everything you say and do. And God can build on that. I want to show you somebody who knew that about their lives. Go to the book of Genesis and let's look at chapter 37. I want to show you the life of a young man named Joseph. Something I know you've heard before, but again, allow it to mean something new to you. Genesis chapter 37, verse 1. "Now Jacob dwelt in the land where his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan." This is the history of Jacob. "Joseph, being 17 years old," so he's just a young guy, "was feeding the flock with his brothers, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought a bad report of them to his father. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age. Also, he made him a tunic of many colors." Now, verse 3 is important to this story. Israel, Joseph's father, loved him more than all his children. I'm going to tell you something. Joseph knew it. Joseph knew how loved he was by his father. "But when his brothers saw," verse 4, "that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him." Verse 5, "Joseph had a dream and he told it to his brothers and they hated him even more. So he said to them, 'Please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright, and indeed your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf.'" Now listen to me. It takes a pretty good amount of boldness to speak to a group of brothers who you already know hate you. And you show up one day and say, "Hey, bros, I had a dream. Y'all want to hear it?" And they say, "No." And you say, "Good, here it goes. I dreamed that one day all y'all gonna bow down and worship me. Ain't that great?" Now, that takes a certain amount of boldness to do that, especially to a group of people you already know hate you. I'm not saying do this, but I just want you to see the kind of boldness that he walks in. Now, praise God for the Holy Spirit, because with the Holy Spirit, he puts this little filter between brain and mouth. And whereas the world has no filter and they just say what they think, you and I, there's supposed to be a difference, okay? That's what I'm saying. There's supposed to be a difference. You're supposed to have that filter between what you say and what you think. You don't have to say everything you think. That just hit somebody like revelation, like a bomb just went off in your life. That's big to you. You don't have to say everything you think. And Joseph, he had this dream. I guess there was no filter, but that boldness, I guess the boldness just came from knowing how loved he was by his father. As a matter of fact, when you look in the New Testament and you start studying that word boldness, which we're going to do by the end of this week and going on into next, really one of the definitions for that word boldness, you look it up in the Greek, it's this: unreservedness of speech. That's what it means to be bold, unreservedness of speech. And you can see Joseph here had no reservedness in his speech. There was no putting this in nice tones. There was no keeping this to himself. He was just bold. Hey guys, I know you hate me, but guess what? My dream says all y'all gonna worship me someday. So see you later. Just bold about it. You know where his boldness came from? He knew his father loved him. Jacob, Israel, loved him. He loved him, and Joseph knew it. Joseph had this dream. His brothers hated him. Verse 8, his brothers said, "Shall you indeed reign over us? Shall you indeed have dominion over us?" So they hated him even more for his dreams. Then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers. This guy's just not getting a clue. But he's so bold because daddy loves him. He says, "Look, I've dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars all bowed down to me." Ain't it great? He's just bold. He's bold to talk about his dreams. There's so many parallels that communicate to you and I, but listen to me. God has put a dream on the inside of you, and you need to be bold about that dream. If he's put a dream in you to begin that business, if he's put a dream in you to begin that ministry, he's put a dream in you to have a family, you be bold about that dream, and you talk that dream. And I'm not saying you go talk it to everybody and anybody, but in the presence of God, you talk it boldly. And in the presence of your enemy who would try to stand in front of you, you go back to that promise God made to Joshua. He said, "No man will be able to stand in front of you all the days of your life." Why? Because I'm with you. I am with you everywhere you go. And when you realize the Lord is with you and you let that boldness rise up on the inside of you, you get bold with God. "God, you put a dream in me, and by faith I receive it. By my faith in you and in your word, I will walk in that dream. No man can stand between me and that dream." That's the kind of boldness that Joseph is walking in. So, of course, his brothers hate it even more. Word gets back to his daddy. His daddy didn't care too much for this dream, but this boldness to talk about it just keeps coming up in him. This story goes on, and I really want you to see some things in it. It goes on. Look, his dad sent him into the field to go check on his brothers, and he goes walking around looking for his brothers. And then in verse 18, it says, they saw Joseph afar off. So Joseph is walking towards them, and they can see him off in the distance. And look, this is what I want you to see. Even before he came near them, they conspired against him to kill him. To kill him. What I want this to do for you is just provide a little perspective. You think you have family problems? You think that maybe your parents and you don't get along, and it's so hard, and I just don't like it, and oh, it's so rough on me. This guy had family problems. Allow the word of God just to provide a little perspective for you. They saw him coming and said, "Oh, look, there he is. Let's kill him." Now, unless they're all saying that about you when you come driving up the street and your whole family sitting on the porch waving, saying, oh, look, there he is. I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. I can't help it. I can't be held responsible. As soon as he gets here, he is dead. Now, unless they're saying that about you, you're going to be okay. You are going to be all right. The word will provide some perspective for you. That's all I'm trying to say. And this story goes on. And the one good brother who said, let's not kill him, thank God for family that's on your side. Sometimes all you need is just one that's on your side, right? And he said, let's not kill him. Verse 22, Reuben said, shed no blood, but cast him into this pit. So the one family member that was on his side didn't want him dead, but said, let's throw him in a pit. It's not looking good for Joseph, is it? But here's this guy who's living bold in his dream. So they threw him into the pit. You know this whole story. They threw him in there. They sold him. He got sold into slavery. He got bought. In chapter 39, it says Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. What I want you to see is that this young man, 17-year-old boy, had been rejected by every person that was supposed to be on his side. Family, the one that's supposed to stick by you, had rejected him. They were all angry with him about his dreams. They wanted him dead. And then they got a better idea. Let's not kill him. Let's make some money on him. So they sold him into slavery. And now he's been bought as a slave. But look at this in verse 2 of chapter 39. The Lord was with Joseph. What did God say to Joshua? I will be with you everywhere you go. When everybody in his family had rejected him, everyone he knew had turned their back on him, still the Lord was with him. Now allow this to minister to you right now. I am so fully aware and so fully convinced that there are people watching this program that feel rejected by family, feel rejected by friends and coworkers. You may have gone through something where it seems like everybody turned their back on you. You go back to this bedrock revelation. The Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. And you let that boldness rise up on the inside. I may be persecuted, but I am not forsaken. I am not abandoned. My God has not left me. The one who loved me and gave himself for me has not turned his back on me, and I can be bold about my future. It says the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. You want to know what you need for success? You need to know that the Lord your God is with you everywhere you go. Don't go away. I'll be back in just a moment.
When the enemy tries to move in, there's no need to run and hide. It's time to step in and send him running. No matter who you are or where you came from, you can be free to live life to the fullest. God no longer sees you under the curse, unworthy, sick, or poor. Understanding who you are in Christ is key to living in the fullness of the good life promised. In Kenneth Copeland's 8-part CD series and study guide, Understanding Who You Are in Christ, you'll be transformed by this foundational teaching and in-depth study on the reality of redemption as you begin to see yourself as God sees you. You've been redeemed from the curse, so begin to enjoy all that belongs to you because of what Jesus has done. You'll also receive free with purchase Jeremy Pearson's Bold Beyond Uncertainty, an effectual complement to this teaching. Make the decision, know who you are in Christ, and claim your victory. Order the Understanding Who You Are in Christ package at a 40% savings for just $30 at kcm.org. In this 8-CD series and study guide by Kenneth Copeland, learn the power of knowing how much you are loved. And free with purchase, you'll also receive Bold Beyond Uncertainty, a CD teaching by Jeremy Pearsons. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order online. For these and other ministry resources from Kenneth Copeland, go to kcm.org.
The only way your life is ever going to look different than the rest of this world is when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. When you invite him to come take over, be the Lord and Savior, become your high priest, is what the Bible calls him. He becomes your connection to God and God's connection to you. That's where the difference really begins. There's no possible way to exit this world system and get into the kingdom of God and his way of living until Jesus becomes the Lord of your life. And if you've never done it, then do it right now. Just accept him as your Savior. Just say it out loud. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, save my life. I believe in you. I believe you came. I believe you died. And I believe you rose again. And just pray the same prayer that my grandmother, Gloria Copeland, prayed. She said, Lord, take my life and do something with it. And listen to me. If you prayed that prayer today, then I want you to know a couple of things. First of all of heaven is going absolutely ballistic and rejoicing over you. And secondly, all of Kenneth Copeland Ministries is doing the exact same thing. We are so thrilled and excited to have you a part of the kingdom of God and the family of God. And if that's you, you prayed that prayer today for the first time, my grandparents have something absolutely free that they want to send you. It's a little book called He Did It All For You. And with that is a brochure of how to study your Bible. These are great, just early foundational things to read alongside with your Bible and begin to understand who you are in Christ Jesus, who He is in you. And I want you to know that the Word of God is your source for strength. It's your source for boldness. You need to get a hold of these things and make them a part of your everyday life. When you do, it begins to rip out old ways of thinking. And you're going to find yourself thinking ways you never thought you could. You're going to find yourself thinking way beyond your limitations, way beyond the old ways that you used to think. And it all began with making Jesus the Lord of your life. The greatest decision you have ever made is to make Him Lord. And if that's what you did today, let us know. Just write and let us know. Call and let us know. Email and let us know. Whatever you got to do to get a hold of these materials, I want you to do it. It's going to be a blessing to you. Praise God. This is Jeremy Pearson's inviting you to join me again on tomorrow's broadcast. And I want you to know that God loves you. We love you. And like Kenneth and Gloria Copeland always say, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you received Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, be sure to request your free salvation package from Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at kcm.org. A book, He Did It All For You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right.
Join us for the 2011 31st Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, July 4th through the 9th. 5 power-packed days designed to put you personally in touch with God. Don't miss this opportunity to discover your full potential. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partners meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches healing school. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Copeland Pearsons hosts pre-service prayer Monday through Friday. Youth services are available Monday through Saturday, 1440. Students Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God for ages 13 to 18. Commander Kelly and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 to 12. It's all free. July 4th through the 9th, the 2011 Southwest Believers Convention. For the household of faith, everything is going to be all right.